extraordinary. Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, Sam.
What are you giggling about already?
You said ordinary.
Ordinary.
Are you ordinarily ready?
I'm ready. Incredible. We're so professional. It's amazing. Stuck at the office or traffic jam. Time to take it easy with Alyssa and Sam. Is that show you know a pro? Okay, so for today's episode, we have a very special guest.
Well,
joining us today is Raw Beauty Christy, the one, the only.
Robbie, it's
hello. Chris. Happy to be here.
I'm putting on her best radio show host.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you ever been on the radio before?
No, and now I know why. From today, just now.
You solidified that this is not a strong point.
No.
So today we are going. So today we are going to be discussing chronic illness. We had this actually requested by a listener. Can't remember whom, but thanks. So I'm going to go through each of your guys' chronic illnesses.
You're like, but thanks.
But thank you. So Alyssa,
yes.
You deal with chronic pain from a fractured back,
mm-hmm.
chronic sinusitis and tonsillitis,
mm-hmm.
asthma,
mm-hmm.
and arthritis.
I do, yes.
Fantastic. Christy, I know you deal with chronic cluster headaches.
Yes.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome and insulin resistance as well.
Yep.
And you've also dealt with gallbladder disease and kidney stones.
Yes.
And I've had strep throat once.
Tell us all about it, Sam.
So I think I'm probably the best to speak on this.
I think so.
I think what you guys are dealing with is, like, fine.
Minimal like, in comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Child's
It was really bad. Strep throat.
Oh, it was bad for a solid day and a half. It was a lot for me.
It really was. I've never been the same, frankly. So I don't know who'd like to jump in on this first, but what is it like living with chronic pain, y'all?
It's pretty fun.
Love
it's,
it.
It's the favorite thing I've ever done, frankly. I mean, I feel like it's all I talk about, and I feel like people are sick of hearing it, and that's a big part of it, is that you feel like the worst, because
yeah.
you're always like, when you feel something all the time, it's all you can talk about, because yeah. it's like your reality, but
Yeah, that's the thing, too, with, like, chronic illness. And I feel like especially, like, my back and your chronic cluster headaches, like I said in the anxiety podcast, I think, people can't see it,
yes.
right? Like, the only thing that I can see for your cluster headaches is, like, sometimes, is it your right eye or your
left eye?
Your left eye droops, right? And, like, that's something that is, it's not as easy to see as, like, a cast on an arm or mm-hmm. something like that. And it was the same thing with my back, which was, you know, other than for me to have like a complete body cast basically, or like one of those, what is that called? Stabilizer things? What's that called? Anyway.
I don't know.
That thing from that show, that
strep
one.
Strep throat only. I don't know if I have to say it again.
Like antibiotics. Yeah. That's yeah. like a halo.
But that's the thing. It's like we can't see these things. And so when we're constantly talking about them, because I mean, it is an excuse, and it's a valid excuse. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't get out of bed today, or I can't even see in front of me or something. Oh, I deal with migraines as well. Sorry.
I just forgot. Add that one to the list.
Yeah. And it, I think that people do get annoyed, because if they don't experience chronic pain or the same kind of chronic pain, they can't understand,
mm-hmm.
which can be really frustrating.
And I feel like that's that way with everything. It's kind of sad that we can't really understand it until we've experienced it. So it's like with everything. Like, I didn't understand anxiety until I had my first panic attack. And then I felt so bad for anyone who deals with it. And even last weekend, I was dealing with massive anxiety, which isn't something I deal with often, maybe like a couple times a year. But every time I do, it makes me feel a trillion times more empathetic towards anyone else. But it sucks that it takes me feeling it
mm-hmm.
to now then understand and be able to feel not like I didn't feel bad from people before, but you can't,
but to fully
get it. And that's why it sounds so terrible, what I've always said, like, I wish I could just give everybody a cluster headache for like 30 seconds, just so they could,
yeah,
because then nobody would ever make you feel bad again. Yeah. You know, you would get it.
Well, and I think that I've witnessed just through like the time that we've been friends, I've seen so many people that like, it seems like people start out by being like, oh, Christy, like, I'm so sorry. That sucks so much. And then eventually over time, they're like, okay, mm-hmm. like give it up kind of thing. And yeah. it's just interesting to watch because it's like, it's not like your pain has gotten any less.
No.
It mm-hmm. stayed obviously the same, yes. which is why it's chronic.
Yes. And it's so debilitating, but you have to, it sucks because you have to downplay it because otherwise you're just complaining about it all the time. So people are like, how do you feel today? You're like, oh, it's all right. Even though you like,
you're dying.
Feel like you're dying. But yeah. you can't just always be like, oh, it's a terrible day, because then first of all, you're a complainer.
Right.
That's, I mean, I'm seen as a complainer no matter what I say, because and what sucks is I actually had like a total mental breakdown. It was actually last week when I was supposed to be here doing the podcast. And that was like one of the worst days I've had headache wise. I felt horrible. And then I increasingly feel horrible because I had to cancel plans, which makes you that bitch. You're always having to cancel because of something nobody else can see. And you're like, right. I don't feel good. And then you feel like, but they don't believe me because they can't see it. It's just like what you were saying before. Yeah. And you feel guilty. And then the anxiety sets in because you're like always the one that feels like shit. And so it sucks to be the person, without sounding too complaining, but I'm not going to try to worry about that.
No, don't worry about that, man.
Not on the podcast.
Not here.
It sucks being the one that people don't ask you like, how's it going? They're like, how do you feel? Yeah. That's always the first question that everyone starts with, because they always know, like, is it a bad day or a good day? And then everyone starts looking at you like, well, you're the sick one. So, you know what I mean? It's just like, I just want to feel like, I don't want to be the one that when you see me, after you haven't seen me for a long time, is, how have you been feeling? Like,
you're like shit, Nancy. Yeah.
And I hate that I'm that bitch. Like, oh, just the sick one or the, you know, and it's just, tell me, I'm annoyed with myself, like hearing myself cluster handing, like I swear hearing it, I hear how I sound, but I can't help it.
But that sucks that you have to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I relate to you in that, because when I was in middle school and high school, I had already, we'll get into this later, but I had already had like my back fracture for like a long time. Like this happened when I was like but a youngin. So by the time I got to middle school and stuff, people would be like, oh, you can't do this because of your back. Like, oh, you can't do this because of your back. And it's like, some of this shit, yeah, I could do, but I just became the one who couldn't do anything, or that we had to be so gentle with. And like,
so that was almost like you defaulted to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that, yeah, it just sucked. And then other people, like, if they were having back problems, like my good friends, they just would like be like, oh, my back really hurts. And then they're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, it's fine. Like, we all have back pain. Like, I don't expect that all of you have to break your L5 in order to like be able to tell me that your back freaking hurts. Like, damn.
Yeah. And I mean, and pain is relative, because for me, yeah, I have like, I'll explain what cluster headaches are in a minute for anybody who's listening who has no idea what they are, because it sounds like you just get like a cluster of headaches. It sounds like what it is. Why did they name it that? I don't know. But pain is relative. So, like, even for me, who I have these horrifying, horrifying headaches, it still hurts really bad when I stub my toe. Just because I've heard this before, just because you're in a full body cast doesn't mean that my broken leg doesn't hurt. You know? I try not to compare pain, because I've had just regular headaches that I can't quit complaining about, or, like, a hangnail that, you know what I mean? Everything hurts, and it's all relative, so you can't compare pain. And I'm not one of those people who likes to do that, because a lot of people be like, I can't even begin to understand what a cluster headache feels. It's like, well, they hurt really bad, but so does
they hurt real bad.
They hurt bad, but so does everything else, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I try not to like,
but mine is worse than yours. One, I think that that is something that people with chronic pain kind of have to come into as well, because I struggled for a long time. I still dabble with like emotionally, like not outwardly, but like just inwardly being like, just fucking get up to the people who I know, well, assume, don't have chronic pain. Mm-hmm. Like I spoke about this. It was mostly in my workplace when people would be like, oh, I'm so tired, or I have a cold or whatever. And I'm like, can you just freaking like buck up, dude? Like, I'm coming to work. I have all of these chronic issues, but you're so right. And like, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help me. And now I'm just feeling bitter. And this person is probably, you know, outwardly I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. But they're probably sensing that I'm like,
and it doesn't. Up. And what's hard is that, like, for me, I always say like, oh my God, I can't even imagine what it would be like to wake up and not be in pain. But I have had pain-free days. Mm-hmm. And I take them for granted. I sit around doing shit all day. And then I'm like, because I always say, oh, if I was pain-free, I'd travel and I'd do all this stuff. No, you wouldn't. You think you would, but then you think other people are taking their days for granted. But it's really easy to feel good and forget what it was like when it was really bad. Mm. But most days, I'd say most days are bad. That sounds terrible to say. Most days of my life, no,
you,
but I'm in
you
pain.
You don't have to worry about censoring yourself here.
This is the thing, Christy, is if it's true for you, it's fucking true.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to say something, it's like, that's fine. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather you come on here and be truthful, and especially because we're like friends.
And I think the internet has made me really cautious of of really downplaying it. Not to blame my subscribers or anything, because they're just wonderful, most of them.
But most of the people saying those things, honestly, aren't your subscribers, you know?
And I think it does get old hearing people talk about it all the time. It's like, oh my God, but to get over it. And I hear myself, like, again, but you downplay it and you just don't mention it because you don't want to come off annoying or you don't want to come off complaining. And so you'll hear me be like, and no complaints, like a million times because I'm so used to backtracking my way out of it. So I don't sound ungrateful for my life.
Well, and I think, sorry, listen.
No. Go.
I think that's a thing too that I deal with depression and stuff like that is like, people don't want to hear it. People get sick of hearing it. They're like, you're such a complainer. You have everything that I could ever want, blah, 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 whatever, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, but sometimes, like, I just need to say it. Like, I just need to get it out there kind of thing. And I think that I actually commend the fact that you do speak about it quite, like, not even frequently, but quite openly. And you do discuss what it's like. And, you know, you talk about it when it's going on. Because I imagine that it is debilitating. So it's really hard for you to then, you know, like in your job, jump on a camera and pretend you're fine when you're not.
I can't do it. Yeah.
And even as, like, you know, like a personal friend, contrary to popular belief, even though I don't like all of your replies on Twitter, you know, as a personal friend, I think it's so much easier when you're just like, sorry, dealing with this today. And I'm like, no problem. Yeah, because I might not understand it, but like, at least I can be like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. And it's interesting because, Alyssa, you have such a different approach to how you speak about your chronic pain, because I have known Alyssa for a decade. I know about her chronic illnesses within the last month, basically. Like,
you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like Alyssa and I, over a year ago, we went to New York and we were chit-chatting at breakfast and stuff like that. And I was saying, like, what do you want to do today? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, I can't walk very much. And I was like, oh, how come? And she was like, well, because I think it was your back.
I can't remember if it was my back or if I had a cyst on my ovary.
Oh, maybe it was your ovary.
Because I do get cysts on my ovaries like once every 2 months or something like that.
Yeah, so they hurt. They hurt. You were dealing with that. And it's like it was the first time I'd ever heard you mention it. And so with you, Alyssa, I struggle to know what's really going on because you don't say, basically. Mm-hmm. And so this has like desensitized me so much that when Alyssa is in serious trouble, I'm like so alarmed. I don't know what to do with myself. Like, Alyssa like always is like sucking on mints and stuff. And we were in a Michael's and she started choking on this mint. And I literally just like panicked because I was like, oh God, like Alyssa's actually not okay and like expressing it through choking to death. And I just was like, I was about to let her die because I was like so panicked by the fact that she was actually expressing pain. Like,
it was just, this is a true story. And I was like, I was still trying to like walk. And
she was still trying to be like, like she was like turning red and like couldn't breathe and was like dying. But she still was like about to go to fetch an ambulance herself.
Well, I know who I don't want around in an emergency.
I think you're gonna be okay.
Just pounding on her back.
That was pretty bad. I think my saving grace there is that it was a mint, so it dissolved in my
if not, R.I.P. Alyssa.
In my lungs. I think what ended up happening was I think I coughed it up and it ended up in my like nasal cavity. And then it dissolved in my nasal cavity. Sorry to everybody who's listening.
Hey, you guys are in for a wild ride.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason Alyssa lived is because it was something that dissolved eventually. And she just had to wait it out.
A very painful wait.
Yeah.
Mints in the nasal cavity.
Yeah.
but it's that's chronic tonsillitis. But it's interesting because, like, I feel like you, Christy, are very open about it. You, Alyssa, are very private about it and just kind of are like, I'm just not going to mention it sort of thing. And it's interesting being a friend to both of you, dealing with different chronic illnesses and expressing it in, like, such different ways.
And I don't know why I chose to be... I think I personally chose to be open about it because nobody that I personally was watching was. And so yeah. I felt like, am I the only bitch out here with that's head hurts all the time? Am I the only person? And so I started off my YouTube career with my old YouTube channel when we were trying to conceive. Oh, I have infertility too. I didn't mention that. But
we can add that to the list.
Add that to the list. Just to jot that down. So that's why I started my old YouTube channels, because I had infertility and I wanted to find other like-minded people that could relate. And then because other people were sharing their struggles, I wasn't alone. So I wanted to make sure that with chronic pain or whatever I'm dealing with, like buying a house and it ended up being crappy. Sometimes it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm just being honest, because mm-hmm. this is the stuff that a lot of people deal with and a lot of people have, but because people don't talk about it, which nobody has to talk about what they're going through, but then if you don't, sometimes you're like, am I the only one doing this? Yeah. And you're not the only one. And that's what I discovered with, you know, infertility and trying to conceive back in the day, is that I felt alone until I looked and saw that other people were sharing their stories. And if they weren't, I would not have known what to do. I would have had zero inclination of what direction to go into. Still don't have a kid, but mm-hmm. at least I know now everything. I mean, it opened up a whole world to me. Same with cluster headaches. If other people didn't share online, yeah. I would have no idea what to do. And so that's why I like to share.
Yeah.
So,
and I was just going to say quickly, that was kind of the impression I got from watching your videos, like, years and years ago. The ones where you would, like, sit in front of the TV. I got the impression that you were just basically sharing for exactly that reason. Like, to, like, not make other people feel alone. But for me as well, I think it was helpful because I became educated about something that I may never experience. But then it was something where I was like, okay, cool. Now I can be mindful of that because I know that this thing exists, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of times, I mean, most people haven't heard of it. And if you haven't heard about it, why would anyone put funding towards it? Why would anyone, you know, maybe people might have it out there and they're just like, man, I get these really weird headaches every single day and I don't know what's mm-hmm. happening. And they don't, you know, how would you know? I mean, yeah. I went a long time without diagnosis because I was just like, well, this is weird and hurts more than anything I've ever experienced, but I just I had no idea. And yeah. so it took me scouring the internet to be able to find a shred of information. And I like to fill those gaps on the internet if I can. If I have an experience in something, I'd like to please share it because maybe it could even help one person. And I think it has. I get messages all the time of people being like, hey, I'm so glad you mentioned this. My husband's been dealing with this. He just got diagnosed. And so that means a lot to me. So even if I come off complaining or whiny or whatever, I'll take it because it could help somebody. And that's all I care about at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course. So do you want to take us kind of like take it back to when you
take it back.
When you like when did you have your first cluster headache? Were you born with this? Mm-mm. When did this kind of start and what did it look like?
Super healthy kid, living my life completely normally, eating everything kids eat, living my best life. Like I would eat like $1 million pops a day. That could have something to do with this. So maybe don't let your kids do that. I was totally healthy, normal, no, never an issue as a kid, maybe an ear infection here and there, but live my life like regular as hell. Got my period when I was 10. That's when things kind of started going downhill. So I've never had regular periods my entire life. So this goes into when I started wanting to be sexually active at the age of 15. I went to the teen clinic in my town and she asked me, when was your last period? And I was like, oh, I don't know, like 8 months ago. Oh, wow. And she was like, what? Oh, well, she did say, though, oh, that's normal. And I was like, oh, is it? Okay, fine. Give me birth control, lady. So started birth control right then, and I was on it probably until I was 20. So from like 15 to 20, never had normal periods. Told me it was normal. As a 15-year-old kid, you don't question it. She's an adult. I don't know.
Right.
What she means by normal is common. It's not normal, though, yeah. to right. not have periods. It's common, though. A lot of women have polycystic ovarian syndrome. So at 19, I went and saw an OB, and I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is cysts on your ovaries. Instead of It's a thing. It's never been too bad other than the infertility. I don't have a lot of pain associated with it. I'm lucky in that way. I do sometimes get cysts that rupture. I always think it's my appendix, and I always go to the emergency room, and they're always like, you're fine. They're always like, it's here.
It's my appendix flaring up again, guys.
And get my room ready.
So many times I'm like, oh, my appendix just ruptured. And there it goes. Going, and they're like, no, it's just still your ovary. I'm like, oh.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt you, but you know what's so annoying about that is that I mean, I've never had an appendix rupture, so I don't know. But I just feel like if this was happening to the entire population, and by that I mean both men and women, I do feel like they would take it a little bit more seriously. Like, I'm not trying to call the men out, but I'm just like, this shit hurts, man. And I yes. broke my back, okay? And like, when I have a cyst rupture, it is like, it's like I'm literally holding the chair right now thinking about it.
I keel over. I literally thought my appendix, I thought an organ in my body ruptured open. And then they're like, nope, just a cyst. I'm like, just a cyst. Mm-hmm. Just to pop a quick cyst on it. Just.
My goodness.
God in heaven. Yeah. So that, anyway, that pisses me off. Same. They don't take it seriously at all. Because, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's not.
But it hurts real bad.
It hurts me, okay?
Jeez. Just pass me a little T3 or two.
I know. Jeez. Yeah, so that was 19. I got diagnosed with that. And then that's what I dealt with. And then we started trying to have a baby, like I would say, age 21 to 26, I think, around that age. I was actively trying, going to a reproductive endocrinologist every month, paying like maybe $800-900 a month.
Wow.
Doing fertility treatments. I was taking Clomid and Femara and all different kinds of fertility medications and getting ultrasounds and mid-cycle scans and doing all the super fun stuff. Never got pregnant. Was told that I don't ovulate. That's due to the polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that we came to no conclusion, basically. Zach's totally fertile and normal, apparently. It's just all me. So that's fun. And then, so I was on Clomid for like 6 months, which is a drug that makes you ovulate.
Okay.
And then they switched me to a drug called Femara, which is actually a breast cancer drug. It's used off-label to help women ovulate. They noticed when they gave it to people with breast cancer, they ovulated. It's weird. Anyway, so I took that for 3 months. And in that 3 months, I remember the first time I took Femara. Ow. I had the worst migraine of my entire life. I actually have it still up on YouTube. I filmed myself in the middle of it because I wasn't a headache getter. Can't imagine me as a non-headache getter. Before this, never. Didn't have an issue.
Weird.
What
did that look like for the people who haven't seen it, that migraine?
It was, I could not, I was pitch black bathroom just in just agony. I mean, I was like, holy shit, what is happening to me? The only thing I'd done different was take this medication. Who knows if this is what started it all, but it times up real perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got that, and then I remember maybe a couple of weeks later, I was sitting in the same bathtub, and I got my very first cluster headache. And I remember it so distinctly because cluster headaches, I'll explain them. I don't know if I should explain them right now.
Yeah, do it, yeah.
Basically what they are is they are unilateral pain. They're one-sided. They're only going to ever occur on one side of your face, in your eye, in the trigeminal nerve that runs in your head. They're not headaches. They don't hurt your head at all. You could pound all over my head. It doesn't hurt. It's just your eyeball, and it kind of digs down the back of your neck. It feels like your eye is... exploding isn't even the right word. Because that can't even begin to...
Is it like, you know when something gets, like, outrageously cold and it's, like, that, like sharp pain? Is it like that?
Sharp.
No?
It's dull. It feels like your eye has swollen to the size of a pool ball or something. And it's too big for your skull. And you want to rip your skull apart.
Like an immense pressure?
Immense pressure. And it's not sharp.
Okay.
It is sharp, though. It's like, it so is all of explain. It. Yeah. So hard to explain. If you haven't experienced it, you can't understand it. And I hate to put it into terms like this because I feel like it's, again, I don't like to compare pain. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about it on medical terms, they've coined it the most painful thing in the world. Like,
wow.
On the list of pain scales, everyone who's ever gotten one puts it at a 50 out of 10. Like, it is, and I can attest. It's not just like a dull ache. It's an attack. They come in attacks, so you'll feel one coming on. If you don't catch it in time, heaven help you. I mean, you pace around, you smack yourself in the face, you're screaming. It's like unbelievable. You should look up. I mean, it's really alarming, but if you look up a YouTube video of somebody having a cluster attack, it is shocking.
I've watched videos actually of people getting cluster headaches, and there was this one in particular where I remember the girl was like screaming and crying, and she was getting her husband to like
smack
punch
her in the face.
Yes,
I have been there. It's rare that I get to that point because I'm such a seasoned vet at this now that I can nip it in the bud before it gets that point. Usually I'd say once every couple of months I wait too long to take my medication because I think maybe it's not going to turn into one. And you can ask my husband, it's like it's so horrific. I've never, it's like I go into another dimension. I'm almost not even there. Like I'm just, it's such a guttural, like primal thing where I'm just like pacing, and I sit in the shower with it on full blast heat, and just spray myself in the face with the water just to detract from the pain until the medication can kick in. It's so horrifying. So
that's what I was going to ask, is like when you say like catch it, you mean take your medication, like when you feel it coming on.
So you have no, you can't just ignore it. You can't sit through it. There is a, so you know how sometimes like you get a stomach ache and you can like just sit there and like, you can like will your way through it until it passes.
Right.
You cannot do that with a cluster attack. If you don't take medication, it's coined the nickname, and this is, you know, just trigger warning for anybody, but it's coined the nickname suicide headache because many people commit suicide from the pain. I have, I don't talk about this much, but I have been very close. And I am not a suicidal person. I love life. I think it's wonderful and amazing. But it hurts so bad that it's just blinding. You can't you can't prepare for it. There's nothing you can do to ease it except for medication. So I take a medication called Sumatriptan or Imitrex. It's my lifesaver. If I didn't have it, I would not be here because you can't sit through this pain. It's 10 out of 10. It's so weird. It's just the weirdest thing. Came out of nowhere. I have no idea.
That's
okay. No.
How long? I have two questions. How long do these attacks generally last for you? And then my other question is, when you take the medication, does that basically keep you in almost like the pre-headache stage, or does it just dull the pain of like a cluster headache?
So I unfortunately have atypical cluster headaches. So there are a couple of different kinds. There are episodic attacks, which is like, this is what they're called, like the calendar headaches, because most people who get them, mostly men, but women can get them too. But most people who get them from a very specific time of the year to a very, so like, let's say January 1st to March 3rd, they know every year from January 1st to March 3rd, they're in a cluster cycle, but March 4th to next January 1st, pain-free. Done. They can almost time them to the moment that they start.
It is crazy.
It's crazy. Most people get them that way. Episodic is what they're called. I have chronic, so I never get those pain-free periods. I have them all year around, and they, so most people that get them too, like they get multiple attacks per day. Most of the time it wakes them up during the night. The attacks last 15 minutes to 30 minutes sometimes, and they get multiple per day. Mine usually start by noon to 2, almost every time. Almost, because sometimes it's weird. And then mine will last, if I don't take my medication and I just let it run its course, 10 hours, maybe?
Oh, my God.
But that's why my doctor's like, what's the deal here? Because I'm very atypical, but he's determined I don't have this disease called trigeminal neuralgia, because that, like, can get brought on by, like, the wind touching your face or, like, somebody walking by and like coughing in your direction, like just that pressure can cause an attack. But mine is so atypical. So that's also the problem, is that normal treatments don't work on me.
Right.
And that's why it's so frustrating, because things that work on episodic sufferers, they just don't work on chronic.
Like Botox and all that kind of crap. Because I know that's like probably something that both of you deal with too, is like, it's just so, anytime someone's dealing with any kind of, like, medical thing, even, like, me with acne, which is obviously, like, not anywhere close, everybody, of course they're just trying to help, but everybody's like, well, what about this? And have you tried this? And what about this thing? And how about this? And like, and it's just like as if, like, especially both of you guys have been dealing with, you know, your chronic pains and illnesses for so long. Mm-hmm. Of course you've heard of that.
Yes. Yeah, like, if one more person tells me to stretch, I fucking swear.
And I see their intention. They're just trying to help.
Yeah.
It does sometimes get frustrating. People are like, have you tried Advil? And you're like, what? What is this Advil?
Advil? Yeah.
And it's like, oh, where do I buy it? Yeah. Yeah. I have tried everything. I mean it. I mean, it's just, it's laughable at this point. But they mean well. And I, especially on the internet, I get comments sometimes 10 times a day, sometimes 150 times a day. Yeah. People, have you tried XYZ? And I know they're coming from a good place. Yes, I've tried it. Yeah. And some things I haven't tried, but they're the really unconventional treatments. But I'm not opposed anymore. Yeah. I was opposed, you know. I've tried most of the things available to me medication-wise, but some of them I have turned down. Like, my doctor wants to put me on this medication called Topamax and zonisamide. And both of them have the side effects of, like, confusion, not knowing how to form sentences, seizures. I'm just like, you know what? I want to be myself still. I don't want to be a shell of myself. Mm-hmm. And those medications may work amazingly, but so far everything I've tried doesn't. So I'm not hopeful. So.
Sorry, I just want to take it back because I'm so interested. I'm so interested in your debilitating pain. No, it's all good. But when you said it, what it feels like when it's coming on, mm-hmm, I mm-hmm. want to know what that feels like as opposed to like when it's a full-blown attack. And then you also said that it can last from like 12 till 2. Is that like a full-on attack but shorter? Or what?
So basically for me, and this is me, I call them shadows. It's when I can feel it coming on. I have one right now as we're sitting here, but I'm fine. I'm sure I'll be fine.
I'm fine.
I'm my totally fine. But I'm okay. I can feel. It's like when you're sitting there, both of you right now, you can't feel your eyes. You can't feel your neck. It's just there. I can feel the vein, like the nerve inside. That's basically like what I call a shadow, is that I can tell that it's like active.
Something's brewing.
Yeah, something's brewing. And if I don't catch it, it could become bad. Right. Sometimes a shadow turns into nothing and it goes away, but most of the time it turns into a full-blown attack, which is 10 out of 10 can't even survive. But right. A shadow is like, I would say like a 4 out of 10, just really uncomfortable, but
like you can manage your day
kind of. But because I know that it's going to turn into attack, I immediately just take my medication. If I feel a shadow come on,
yeah,
if I wake up and I feel this way, I take my pill in the morning, just preemptively. That's what my doctors told me to do.
Do you feel like a little bit of like anxiety almost around it? Like when
God. Yes. So much. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just, no day can feel normal. I can't just do work like normally people can. So I have triggers that make it bad. If I don't get enough sleep, if I get too much sleep. If I don't have caffeine, if I have too much caffeine, I eat chocolate, if I'm around super high potency, like perfumes, cigarette smoke 100%, alcohol, I can't drink alcohol. I want to drink alcohol sometimes so bad. Just want to have a beer, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to have a beer with dinner. And I can't 100% of the time, not even like 90%, 100% of the time if I drink a bit of alcohol, I'll either get a cluster attack right then or the next day for sure. So
yeah,
we held out on the proposal weekend. I think it was the next day.
Yeah.
And the next day was rough, but the night before was fun.
See, and the night of is usually I can have a great time and I just know tomorrow's going to suck real bad. But sometimes I just risk it because I don't want to live my life like that. You know, it sucks.
And sorry, the other thing that Alyssa, if you want to go
back
to that question.
So the 12 to 2 thing, you said it can be 12 to 2. Did you mean like you take it and it's still bad? Or is that like, even if you take your medication for 2 hours, you still have like a 10 out of 10?
No, so it basically, if I wake up and I feel that shadow I talked about, I will be having an attack by 12 or 2.
Okay.
It's weird, but it's always by that time frame. If I pass 2 p.m., like basically if I feel that head pain, I have to take my medicine. But if I don't, by 2, I will be in agony. So sometimes I don't catch it. And weirdly, a couple of times in the last year, I don't know what's happened. It's been very bizarre for me because it's almost always 12 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
I just know those numbers. But I got one at 9 p.m. So I was not ready, because I'm ready when it comes 12 to 2. I know that that time frame is going to be my cluster headache time if I get one. But it came when I was in bed with my husband with no warning. It just hit me like a freight train in my face. And it was horrifying. He was just like beside himself. He didn't know what to do because I never let it get to that point because I'm usually prepared.
Right.
I was not prepared. I didn't know where it came from or why.
Is there any reason that you then don't take your medication just every morning when you get up? Can you only take it so many times?
Yes, or? They give me 9 a month.
Why?
Because it's triptan, so it's not good for you.
Okay.
So what it does is it restricts your blood vessels, which apparently, like with when, like say that you got a horrible migraine right now. From what I understand, and I could be completely wrong from the research I've done, that your blood vessels are expanded, causing the pressure in your head. So when you take a triptan, like sumatriptan or Imitrex, it makes your blood vessels smaller, therefore removing that pressure. So when I take it, I don't mind it. It doesn't make me feel bad or anything when I take it. It makes my chest feel tight, almost like I'm, I guess it makes it a little hard to breathe, but that's a common side effect. And it makes me sleepy, but I don't care. I would rather have that.
No kidding.
So I try to take it as, like, I would take it every day if my doctors didn't tell me you shouldn't be taking it more than 2 days a week. Maximum.
Right.
Because that's all the pills I get. So you really have to use them sparingly, unfortunately. Yeah. It's scary.
Is sumatriptan, because I remember at one point you were telling me about a type of medication that you could take, but you tried not to take it often because it would kind of cause you to, like, have a little bit of, like, depression and stuff.
That's sumatriptan. Yeah. So I don't know why that is, and even if that's a normal thing, but I did have a period where I was having a cluster attack every single day for almost 2 weeks. And that is pretty rare for me. I'd say I get anywhere from 2 to 5 a week generally. But I was having them every single day without fail, and they were, like, 10 out of 10 every day. And so I took it for, like, 9 days straight. And man, I don't know if it was just my spirit was crushed because of the pain, or if it was actually the sumatriptan, because it is a serotonin
inhibitor,
something like that. It works in that way. It does something with your serotonin. And I felt, because if you take too much of it, I think you can get a thing called serotonin syndrome, which is deadly. But I didn't have that. It does something to your serotonin, because cluster headaches are directly related to serotonin. I don't know. It made me feel depressed as shit. I mean, I was like, what is the point of life? But it eventually, so I quit taking it for a few days, even if I was in pain in it. I eventually felt better. Maybe my serotonin, like, filled back up or something. I don't know.
It's like a glass. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's weird.
I just kind of wanted to ask you both, because I know for me, I find it really frustrating when I go into a doctor with, like, whatever kind of issue, and they're like, it's anxiety. Or, like, they just, like, give you some blanket statement. Or when I go in for, like, literally anything that's going wrong, and they're like, we'll put you on antidepressants. And I'm like, I have back pain. like it's. But do you guys find that, because obviously both of you have probably been in and out of, like, a lot of doctor's offices, do you find that even though this is chronic and you guys are dealing with it constantly, do you find that doctors are still trying to discredit you and be like, Alice is ready for this?
Let me tell you all a little story about my back fracture. Okay. Sorry, Christy.
Go ahead.
Okay, so let me clear all the phlegm out of my throat for my chronic sinusitis that has no reason or diagnoses. So I honestly don't even remember how old I'm getting anxiety talking about this because I'm so angry. I don't remember how old I was when I actually fractured my back. I think I was like 7 or 8 or 9 or something like that. So I was like quite young. And I fractured it on a trampoline, and my mom took me into the doctor and she gave me like a Tylenol.
Okay. And fair enough.
Probably all you needed.
So yeah, so what had happened was I was on a trampoline, I did a back handspring, landed in a back bridge, and somebody bounced on the trampoline. And
it's always on a trampoline, honestly.
And yeah, and the negative pressure or whatever that's called, that might not be the right
thing. They double bounced your back.
They did. And it fractured my L5 vertebrae. And I literally remember that pain
every day of my life.
Oh my God. Was like, I can't even explain it. It felt like what a broken vertebrae would feel like. It felt like I didn't, you know, when you see those like videos of somebody who's broken their wrist and it's just like wobbling.
Yeah.
If you can imagine what that pain would feel like, it felt like that, but in my back.
And back pain is the worst.
Oh, man. And I was so young. So anyway, I go home and I'm talking to my mom. She's cleaning out. We had like pet mice and she was clean. I remember this so vividly. She was cleaning out the mice cages and she was angry at me because I wasn't cleaning out the mice cages. And I was like, Mom, my back really hurts. And she was like, okay, like just go lay, like just go lay down. Like she was a single mom, like my poor mother. And so I laid on the couch and I was just like, I couldn't even move. Like I couldn't flip from side to side. My friend wanted to come over for dinner. I was trying to sit at the table just to like eat dinner and I couldn't sit and I was in so much pain. And so my mom was like, okay, like let's take you to the doctor, like it's not getting better. And she ended up giving me like basically a Tylenol and sent me on my way. And kind of I kept going to dance because I was like a really active kid, and so I kept going to dance and stuff like that, and it was like still just hurting so bad. It would be worse some days and better other days. Like I remember trying to swim in my grandpa's pool one time and I literally couldn't because it was just like, it was like the worst pain. And I people would like discredit me because I'm a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember how old I was, 7, 8, or 9. And, you know, people are like, you know, grow up, basically. And so eventually my mom was like, okay, like, let's take you to a physiotherapist because it's ridiculous. So I go to the physiotherapist and they're like, oh, your muscles are falling off your bones on your back.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Not once did they send me for an x-ray. Let me just tell you this. So they're saying this. So then I keep going into these physiotherapists for like literally all they fucking, I'm so mad. All they did was they would like put heat and then they would put ice and then they would tell me to stretch. Okay.
The same crap you do at home. You've been doing.
And my single fucking, I'm so angry. My mom is like paying like $80, $90 for me to go to this like physiotherapist. I'm sorry to the physiotherapists out there, but let me tell you.
I'm also sorry to the Americans out there that are listening to that being like, oh, like I wish.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Do you mean 900?
Yeah, that is true. I am. My free That's healthcare is a, is it is a blessing.
Yeah. Forgive
me. Thanks. We'll adopt you, Christy. It's not too late. So anyway, things move on. I end up quitting dance. Is it related because I was had a broken back? Probably. And I get into high school. And then throughout this, I have like ear problems as well. And I would keep going into the walk-in clinic and being like, they'd be like, how else are you feeling? Like other than your ears? I'm like, oh, my back really hurts, but like, it's fine. Like it always hurts. And they like, I remember distinctly this one doctor being like, that's not normal. Like you, I'm going to give you an x-ray. Like I'm going to hand you this x-ray form. And I literally put it in the recycling. Because I was like, no, like we've already dealt with this. Like my muscles fall off my back or my shoulder drops or whatever.
My muscles fall off. Yeah. they're just completely loose and floppy on my back.
Like everyone else.
I'm just a normal girl.
But they came up with all of these like crazy things that hadn't diagnosed in any other way than just like basically coming up with this shit. Anyway, so then when I was 15, I was in grade 10 and I had gone up to a ski mountain and I was like snowboarding and I fell weird and I refractured that part of my back.
Oh my God.
And this time I was old enough and I realized I got up and I was like, this is the exact same pain that I felt because it had healed, right, over the years, you know, 10 years or whatever, give or take. And so the pain was still there. It was still chronic, you know, pain. Mm-hmm. But this was like, it was like that same day when I was 7, 8, or 9 and I had just gotten off of that trampoline. And so I came home and I told my mom and I was like, something is wrong. And so they sent me for an x-ray and they were like,
Lisa, get the Tylenol out. It's happened again.
Oh, then my poor mom. She just like wells up with tears every time we talk about it because she's like, she just, you know, like the system guilt you failed me. Yeah. And so I went for an x-ray. They were like, something's wrong. Went for a bone scan. Something's wrong. Went for an MRI, which is when we figured out that all those years back I had actually fractured my L5 vertebrae. So it took that long for them even to like take me serious, and we had to pay for that MRI. I know, I'm so sorry, but like,
oh, you had to pay, huh?
Well, la-di-da. Yeah. But like in Canada,
you ain't special.
But that was the thing is like in I mean I've had I'm going to sound like such a Canadian
I've
asshole.
Had total surgeries on my entire body with $0.
But I have. I've now had, I think, 3 MRIs.
Cancer. And
actually, yeah, like my dad did get all of his cancer treatments for free because
you
know Canada.
What? Can you guys help out America a little bit? Shit.
Anyway, so yeah, but I still had to advocate for myself to get that MRI. Well, my mom advocated for me, but but it's just like, yeah, it is frustrating because you know, that the reason I had to have so many MRIs was because they were worried that it was slipping after all those years. And had it slipped, I would be paralyzed right now because it can slip into your spinal cord. And it was slipping, but thank goodness it fused at some certain spot, like calcified, and didn't sever my spinal cord.
And I think that's the frustrating part. Now, I don't mean to dog at all on anyone in the medical community. I understand. I can't even imagine what it's like. Mm. I have worked in it a bit myself, but Not a ton. But the sad fact is you have to be your own advocate. Yeah. And you have to really push for shit. If I hadn't said, I need help. This can't be my life anymore. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've received treatment. I see specialists and I see a neurologist and everything. And I feel like, am I happy with where we're at? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No. I really want to find an answer. But
yeah.
I also don't want to constantly be searching for an answer that I'm may not find. So
yeah, well, and I know that's kind of like your reality, Alyssa, because yeah. Not to speak on it on your behalf, but like I know that a lot of the things that you deal with day to day, it's like you go into the doctor and they never have an answer, and they're always like, you're fine, and you're like, but I'm not. And I can see how frustrating that is for you, because obviously now Alyssa and I live together, and I see how frustrating it is because you're constantly in and out of the doctors and they're constantly sending you to the next place and sending you to the next place and everything comes back fine and whatever. And it's just like, but I'm not fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's the thing is when this chronic sinusitis and now what I am, apparently I have chronic tonsillitis, don't know. When it came on, it was like the same thing. It's like, well, I wasn't born with this. I haven't had this forever. It came on one day and it never went away. And I've literally, I have the flu. Like 24 hours a day, like for almost 3 years now. And so it's like when I'm talking to these doctors, I'm like, imagine having to cough like every 30 seconds and clear your throat and like spit up all this mucus and like, you know, just feeling so like tired and like having to get 10 hours of sleep. Like imagine having the flu 24 hours a day. And I'm like, so don't, like, you know what I mean? Like it's so hard when they're like, oh, we don't know what's wrong. And so
yeah, because it's like, that's not an answer. Like I need, you may not know what's wrong, but send me to someone who does. You know?
And sometimes there is no answer. And that's when it's
that's even worse.
Really frustrating because like mine, I'm doing the answer. What? This is the answer? Yeah. Well, shit. Yeah. This is all the best we can do here. And it is. I mean, I take a medication every day, Verapamil, that's supposed to stop them. It's supposed to, like, reduce the amount of them. It doesn't do anything. I don't even know why I take it. I just take it now because I'm afraid not to take it, I think. But it doesn't. I get the same amount. But, yeah, it is frustrating when sometimes there is no great answer because, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all just human, and sometimes the testing is just...
Oh, yeah, it's just not
there.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of the times, like, that was something that, like, when my brother had his accident, and the main thing was, like, his brain injury. And every doctor was like, we don't know. We have no idea. Like, yes. we don't know anything about brains. Like, we can tell you what we think might happen, but we truly have no idea what's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we had some doctors telling us that he was going to never speak again, never walk again, like basically just be in a vegetative state for the rest of his life. We had other doctors being like, yeah, he'll probably be fine. And then like everything in between, because they don't know, like they're just taking their best guess a lot of the time.
Yeah, they're human beings that have just done the same studying that they can. And the brain is the hardest thing in the body, which is what I deal with because mine's a brain thing. They're like, we don't really know how it started or why it started, and it'll probably be there forever. Or why not?
And like you said, like, you know, with these things that are rare, or maybe they just don't know enough about it, well, they're not doing testing on it. They're not they're not learning enough about it. So that is where I understand when a lot of people do take their health into their own hands. And I know that a lot of people think that that's like so kooky, but it's just like when you've been constantly turned away, constantly told you're fine, constantly just sort of like written off, I understand why people eventually just turn to literally trying fucking anything.
That's me. That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. I don't give a shit what it is.
I'll kill a man.
I will. Well, I don't want to take the drugs that are going to permanently alter me, ones that could make me like feel suicidal and things like that, because a lot of the side effects of these are like real personality changes. Yeah. And I'd rather be in pain than not be me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's weird, but I don't want to, there's very few things I want to compromise. And I don't want to compromise the person that I am. I just think that it's just pain at the end of the day. Like, I mean, for me, I just would deal with it. But
have either of you kind of turned to or like considered like more unconventional treatments?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been holding off on it for a really long time because the things that are the unconventional treatments. I mean, I've tried like the easy ones like Red Bull.
That's a treatment?
And it worked really well for 19 days.
Wow.
I drank like 100 Red Bulls in 19 days. Ooh. I kind of overdid it, I think. Would you say?
My liver is compromised, but my headaches were great.
I feel like your cardiovascular health would go first.
I didn't even care, man. I remember I drank my first Red Bull because I was on like these forums for cluster headache support groups, and they were like, try energy drinks. And I was like, what? It worked really well. But then they all warned me it will stop working. And lo and behold, it absolutely stopped. Uh-huh. But I tried that. I tried the vitamin D3 regimen, which is like you take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D daily, magnesium, vitamin K2. You take this whole supplement regimen.
Wow.
And I thought it was working, but I think a lot of it, you almost like tell yourself it's working and it's
placebo effect.
Because eventually it just didn't seem to actually make a difference. For me, it does make a difference for some people, so I'm not saying that it doesn't. I tried oxygen therapy, which is something that a lot of people
do. You were going to say oxy.
I tried oxys. Okay. I would, but they don't work. Oxygen, you'd breathe 100% oxygen through a non-rebreather mask, which is like no oxygen goes out and you're breathing 100%. You're like hyperventilating on it. Oxygen works for a lot of people to completely stop them, so you don't have to take medication. So instead of taking like the medication to stop them, breathing 100% pure oxygen helps.
But is that more so for the people that have the other type?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it seems like there's ways, from what I gather, to combat that one, but with yours, no.
Yes. So okay. Like even a new medication came out yesterday.
Oh.
And I got it sent to me like 50 times. People were sending it to me left and right because it's like this new medication and it's for cluster headaches. It's an injection that you go get at the doctor's. I was so stoked when I saw it because the title is like, new medication just approved by the FDA for cluster headaches. I click on the link and it says, for episodic cluster headaches, chronic sufferers will be left disappointed. I was like, no.
Dang it. You're like, so, time and time again.
It's so frustrating because they just don't know for chronic sufferers. It's so weird. So there are some non-conventional treatments. They're really like, you know, I would say in the world of people thinking things are bad, they're on the list. So mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, LSD or acid, DMT.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
So what's weird about them is
party drugs. Woo! Let's cure these cluster headaches.
So I am not psyched on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but, and I'm not saying that I will, because these are all illegal, so definitely not. If you're listening, feds. Yeah. Feds. But they've shown remarkable success in a lot of people. A lot of people have cured cluster headaches with psilocybin and mushrooms and LSD specifically, and DMT is a huge one. It's so weird. It's whatever they do, they rewire some chemicals in the brain.
And so you're not considering it.
I 100% would consider it. But I don't want to do it. That's the problem. Yeah. Is like that what I was reading, I read a whole thread about it the other day online because it's unconventional. The problem is that people are desperate, like me.
Yeah.
We're just desperate and we don't want to get high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, and it's, you know, illegal. So at the end of the day, super not doing it, podcast people.
Yeah.
I'm not, would never. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wouldn't even consider.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Sam. Yeah. I don't know why you brought it up. But
yeah. What about for you, Alyssa? Like, is there anything that's like more unconventional that you've tried to like ease your ailments?
I did. This is not going to sound unconventional to people, but it does to me because I went to university. I'm just kidding. I actually went to college. I didn't make it into university. But I tried chiropractics.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I don't believe in chiropractors. Just from what I did learn in psychology and stuff like that, I personally don't believe that it does anything. I'm so sorry. However, I did try it.
I like that you apologize directly to Christy. As I've if never she been. Is a chiropractor.
No. I'm so sorry, Christy.
No, I know that that's your passion. I'm so sorry.
I was looking at Christy because, like, I know that, like, I was thinking how, like, Christy thinks is, like, you don't want to offend anybody out there who, like, is a chiropractor or believes in chiropractic.
Well, some people are super, like, it has saved me, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. If it works for you, then that's awesome. But from, I mean, just watch Penn and Teller. That's all I'm saying. but anyway, so I did try chiropractics, and it unfortunately did not work for me. But what was interesting is that I could pinpoint exactly where my, like, actual pain was, just from the way that he was, like, he had to put me in these positions to, like, crack my bones or whatever. And when before he'd cracked anything, he put me in this one position where, like, it stretched a certain spot of my back, and I'm like, oh my god, that's where it is. And I had never been able to feel that one before, because it was a it's a lipoma that I believe is resting on a nerve. But when we got the MRI, they're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, okay, well, then why does it hurt? But anyway, and so he was, I think what was happening was he was stretching it away from the nerve, and I'm like, this is so interesting. But so I tried how do you say that, chiropractics, and then I actually did try CBD oil and CBD, like a stick, I guess, because one of Sam's friends actually said that it was, like, it helped her pain. And so I tried, sorry, Kuma's on the bed and she's being so cute. So I tried the stick, and unfortunately it didn't do anything for me that I felt, except that my cat really liked the flavor of it. So he was, like, constantly licking me. Don't know if lemongrass is good for any animals, but he's fine.
Thank God.
But I did, what was interesting with the CBD pills, I didn't find that they helped my chronic pain, unfortunately, but they did help my anxiety.
Yeah, I didn't notice the CBD helping my pain at all either. A lot of people ask, like, that's the first thing. Have you tried CBD? And I'm like, yes. And I didn't notice anything different, but I do feel good when I take it.
I tried CBD for my, because, like, when I was really not wanting to go on antidepressants, and I was, like, just kind of, like, at the end of my rope. I was really, really struggling, and I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, I'm so not, like, into, like, any kind of drug, basically. And, like, not that CBD is, like, whatever. But anyways, I just was, like, not interested in it. But I was just like, whatever, I'm going to fucking try it. And it was the same person, actually, that was like, maybe you should try CBD, that recommended it to you. But I tried CBD vape pen, didn't do anything. Tinctures, didn't do anything. Like, literally nothing at all. And then I ended up going in, and they were like, oh, yeah, like, for depression, like, we usually recommend you do, like, a one-to-one CBD THC.
Yes, yeah.
And I was like, fuck it.
That sounds kind of
fine. You tried it? Yeah, I tried it, and I literally nothing happened.
Really?
I fucking smoked that vape pen every night. Like, I was fucking puffing.
She was trying to get away.
Dude, like, honestly, like, I would be fucking sipping on gin and chills. Like, I would puff on that thing, like, I don't even know how many times. I would do it. Like, I would take, like, three puffs, and then I'd wait 5 minutes. I'd take three more puffs. I'd wait 5 minutes. I'd take three more puffs. I'd wait five. And I'd do it for, like, an hour, and nothing happened to me. And I did that for, like, a full month.
And that's a one-to-one, so that's got THC in it, correct?
And, like, nothing? Nothing.
Would it have been better in, like, a liquid form and not in, like, a puffin?
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if maybe, like, it was just that, like, the concentrates weren't. But it seems odd, because I had given it to someone else to try, because I was like, is this just effective? Because they did say that that happens sometimes. They were like, if it's defective, bring it back. And I was like, maybe it's defective. And then, like, I had given it to someone else to try, and they were like, fucking high.
That's a kind. Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, I would have been like, oh, bitch.
Oh, I would have been having some paranoid.
Oh, same. I'd be like, I don't know where I am.
It was weird. It was weird. Like, I had people, like, watching me, because, like, I hadn't smoked before. So I was like, am I doing this right? I had people watching me being like, what the fuck is going on? Like Sam watching me to make sure I was, like, inhaling right. I was watching videos. I was, like, Googling, like,
watching video tutorial on how to smoke.
Dude, honestly. And I was, like, Googling, like, how to know if high. Like, like what happens if I'm not getting high? Am I not getting high? Like, I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I was, like, trying to, like, learn
How to smoke weed.
Yeah, honestly, dude.
As a 24-year-old woman.
It was the lowest moment of my life, frankly. And, like, it was just, it's odd. Like, it literally did nothing to my body. No. But that's how I feel about a lot of things in general, is that, like, it takes so much more. Like, it's the same reason, like earlier I was like, I have a headache, and you were like, do you want an Advil? And I was like, no, because I rarely take them unless it's, like, so severe, because it does nothing.
Really?
And even, like sleeping pills and stuff like that. Like, the first time I went to
London,
yeah, someone had said to me, like, well, you should take sleeping pills so that you can sleep throughout the flight. And I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect, because it was, like, an overnight flight, and then I was going to get in at 11 a.m. And I took 2 sleeping pills and nothing happened. And then I took 4 and then nothing happened. And I took 6 total.
What?
And I did not sleep even like 10 minutes on that flight.
Can I just say, don't do that.
No, yeah, please don't do.
Like,
no,
you can don't overdose on that. Sleeping pills very easily. And Sam is the outlier.
She is a freak of nature.
Okay? Like, that you need to take half of one. Like, I take half of a sleeping pill if I need to. And I'm freaking, that's it for me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the like opposite of you.
I am, oh, like, you're so susceptible.
I'm lightweight. I mean, I'm talking like, get me in the same room as somebody smoking weed, and I'm like stoned out of my mind. I'm like, what's happening? Where am I? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's. I'm very sensitive to everything.
And it's odd, because you'd think that because I so rarely am taking substances in my body, that
and I'm
it would
so commonly
fucking hit me like a brick.
Every day I'm taking something, you know?
I don't know why, man. Yeah. I literally, this is like so ridiculous, but like I literally feel like my mind overcomes any substance. Like,
I wonder if you are too sharp, like you're too. I don't know, man.
Penetrate this.
Yeah. Because even alcohol, like, it's surprising how much you can drink it when you decide to drink when you don't drink.
Yeah, I've never seen you impaired in any way. And even with a few drinks in you, you just don't look impaired.
Oh, God. Okay, I will say, I don't know if, like, I just was, like, keeping a good face, or, like, maybe you were just, like, absolutely shit-faced, because I was fucking hammered that night.
Were you drunk?
Oh, my God, Chrissy. I was sitting on the freaking, like, I was sitting on the toilet, and my head was, like, bobbing, and I was, like, oh.
You hold your shit together, then, because I was, like, she's sober. Or I was absolutely drunk. I don't know. I didn't feel that drunk. I was just having a great time. I don't even know where I was.
Aww. I'm so glad that I missed it. I'm going to be so upset that I was not at that weekend for the rest of my
life.
It was terrible. We had an awful time.
This was like last year when Matt proposed to me. We all went to this like lake house. Like
except for
sorry, Alyssa.
But Matt didn't really know Alyssa at that time, and like Alyssa wasn't living out here, so he just didn't invite her to the proposal weekend, and she is going to be bitter about it forever.
But I can just say, he didn't know me either.
Wow. The truth comes
out. I felt very confused of why I was invited, and I was like, I'm happy to be here, but I don't know why you invited me, but I
listen,
will come.
I'm moving out.
How dare you?
Quite frankly.
We would have loved to have you there.
Thanks. I'm just kidding.
You were there in spirit.
Yeah.
You were there on that paddle.
I think that it, like, I'm fine with it because I now live in your house and spend, like, 24 hours
because
a day
I
with
now
you.
Live in your house, yes. That's the only thing that has cured this.
And I'm just I'm just waiting to ask you to reenact.
This is my chronic pain, quite frankly.
It all started that evening. Yeah.
So getting back to that, you had said that you were trying CBD.
Yes. Yeah.
And how was that working for you?
So, how is that working for you?
That was a really, really good segue.
That was a good
segue.
That
was, like, really good.
Thanks.
I'm a professional.
Like, you really are.
Yeah, so I didn't find, like I said, that it was helping my, like, chronic pain at all, but I did find that it was helping my anxiety. The first time that I took it, you're supposed to take it at night if you don't know how it affects you. And so I did, and the next day I had a meeting that should have caused me, like, for my anxiety, like I wouldn't even be able to speak. And I went in there, and I was like, oh my God, you have a dog. Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh, do you want to go first? No, it's fine. I'll go first. And I was like, literally, like, being like ridiculous, Alyssa. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what living is like.
Oh. See, I wish it. I feel like I'm creating it helping me in my mind. I'm like, I am so not anxious. Like, is it really, or am I just thinking it's kind of
but
helping,
even regardless. I mean, the mind is powerful.
It's so damn powerful. Most of the time that I have a panic attack or something like that, I created it because I thought something was happening that actually wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I just, like, hype the scenario up in my mind. But
yeah, that's the thing with placebo effects, is it, like, I think that's fine. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, if something is a placebo, but it's still working for you, I'm like, who cares? Yeah. You're still feeling relief, right?
Placebo's mm-hmm. a very real thing, too. Yeah, it's, like, incredible.
Yeah.
So is there anything for you, Alyssa, that you feel, like, actually, like, helps? Like, with your back and stuff, or, like, with your sinusitis, do you feel like there's anything that, like, alleviates it? Because I know for you it's, like, 24/7, basically.
Yeah. So my back actually was, like, the worst when I was still working at Cactus Club, which is a restaurant. We had to wear heels back in the day, and now they passed a law that you can't, like, legally make them.
Yeah.
And so, but even still, like, I still wore heels because I was, like, so used to it, right? Like, it made me feel confident at that point, like, in serving and bartending. And that was, like, the worst thing for my back, being hunched over the well, which is, like, where bartenders make drinks. By the end of my shift, like, I wasn't even able to, like, walk. Like, I would be, like, limping home and have to, like, take so many Advil and, like, lay on the couch and stuff. So, honestly, quitting my job was, like, the biggest thing for me. And then I did notice, like, a couple years back when my back hadn't progressed, because I do have, like, a lot of things wrong with my back. I literally just went back into all of my, like MRIs and stuff like that. And so I have things like degenerative disc disease, which does, like, degenerate over time, and just, like, all these other freaking, like big notes, and osteoarthritis and stuff like that. So where was I going with that? I always lose my train of thought.
You were saying that
got better when you quit.
Oh, yeah. So it was getting worse. So I wasn't able to, like, really work anymore. So, like, 3 years ago when it wasn't as bad, yoga actually was helping me as well, because I was stretching those muscles and stuff like that. So that kind of helped. But now, basically, just, like, Advil.
Is there no kind of surgery that you can get?
Yeah. So when I went and had my last MRI, the doctor, my back specialist, basically was like, you're going to be in rough shape. And he said that I eventually will have to get back surgery. I can't remember what kind, because I kind of, like, black those things out, because I think my mind takes over and is like, I don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember what he said, and I wasn't able to, like, pull those records for this podcast. But I do know that he said that he wants to wait as long as possible, like, basically until I'm, like, not able to walk.
Oh.
Yeah, just because there are so many risks associated with like, back surgery. And so the chances of me being worse off is, like, more than he's willing to do on, like, a 20 at the time I was 23.
And is it just because it's, like, so invasive?
I don't know enough about it, but I think it's just because, like, the spine and the spinal cord and, like, there's just so much, like, room for error there, or, like, nerve damage or whatever. Like,
well, if something happens with your spine, you can go paralyzed.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And so I'm assuming what they would do is put a rod in my spine, because that's the one I always hear about. Because I have spondylolisthesis and spondylolisthesis or something, and then Sherman's disease. I'm so sorry. I really do have these things. I just, like, know nothing about them.
which is, like, these are so funny. Yeah. I don't even these
which words. I should know. But like, all of those things have to do with, like, and Schmorl's nose, which is, like, connective tissue and shit like that. Like, I think that they would have to do, like, so many things in there, and sclerosis was in those documents that I had as well. And I was like, I don't even know what these things are. Like, I was diagnosed with this shit when I was so young that I don't have any knowledge about, like, what is happening in my spine, like, honestly. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they would do to it, but I mean, that's scary. But for my chronic sinusitis and stuff, the only thing that I felt like helped, decongestants actually do help, because they shrink the blood vessels in your nose, or in your sinuses or something like that. And so I feel like it just, like, creates more of a passageway, and it like,
clear, like, shit up,
dries you up. And and my nasal spray does help, because it's a steroid, again, shrinks it up, I'm pretty sure. And then the other thing is hot yoga. I think just because it, like, really gets things, like, running.
Not to be that bitch, but, like, I do, like, because I for literal years I've been hearing people say that, like, yoga changed my life, and I was always like, ugh. Oh,
yeah, she did that to me, because yoga did change my life.
But fucking yoga changed my life.
Okay, I've been doing a little bit of yoga lately, and it's first of all, it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have, when I say zero fucking range of movement, I am so weak in every way. And it's like, some of these movements, I'm kind of too fat and it's hard to breathe. And I'm like, you know what? I need to do yoga more. Zach's been doing it with me too, and it's kind of nice.
Have you guys really been doing hot yoga?
Not hot. just regular.
Okay, I feel like hot yoga makes all the difference. Because I was like, ooh, I don't know that I'd want to do hot yoga. Like, I thought that would be, like, way too much for me to handle. But, like, hot yoga really does. Like, it makes you so much more limber, so much easier to stretch. Like, and you really do feel, like, so rejuvenated afterwards. Like, I just, again, I'm so not that bitch.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're kind of that bitch.
I am. I honestly
just
feel
embrace
like,
being that bitch.
Yeah, like it makes my body feel good. I sleep better. I have more energy. I'm more positive. Like it makes my like it completely turns my mood around. Like my stress, my ability to deal with stress, like everything. Like I cannot believe yoga changed my life.
Man, I have this one yoga teacher that I will never forget in my entire life. Oh my God, I love him so much. And he did change my life like 3 years ago. And then we had a class with him just the other day. And he said something like, when you have gratitude, what you have becomes enough. And I was just like,
Matthews.
Dude, the shit people say to me in fitness classes always makes me cry. Yeah. I cannot handle it. Like anytime they're like, just take a moment to like be grateful for our bodies and like everything they do for us. I'm like,
I'm so grateful. You know what? I think it's actually really important, and it's something that not a lot of us do, is take that, like, this is going to sound so hippie, but, like, take that time to just have a gentle smile and appreciation for the moment. And
yeah.
I know it sounds so lame, but I meditate, and shit's powerful, man.
I wish I could get I've tried so many times to get into guided meditation.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, and I really struggle to like turn my mind off enough to do it.
Apparently it's just like exercise and it takes time.
Yeah, I should probably try to like get back into it. But speaking on gratitude, I was talking to my therapist about this today, and she actually said that she was like, gratitude is like such a powerful tool.
Mm.
And she's probably right.
Probably. This bitch doesn't know much, but she's probably right.
And maybe I'll give it a try. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it is. I feel like it is. And I feel like just stopping and having those moments of, like, being thankful for shit. I think sometimes it's lacking in a lot of us, but.
Yeah.
I cry sometimes because I'm so thankful to be alive.
Aww.
Usually when I'm, like driving in somewhere, like into Lake Kelowna or like back into Vancouver or something, and like the sun setting, I like literally will start crying because I'm just so thankful.
This is why I'm into fucking plants, bro, because when I look at a plant, it makes me thankful to be alive. Like,
dude,
I see the potential in growing, like how I've grown these little babies from seeds, and it was nothing, and my care and nurturing made it a thing that will then feed me back. We like give to each other, man. I know this sounds hippie as hell. We could have a whole hippie as hell podcast, because I'm telling you what,
dude, nothing calms me like nature.
Oh, me too. That's why I want to move into the middle of nowhere.
Like, I love going on walks and being like,
and like
breathing it in
and hearing nothing. You just stop and it's just birds. This is like,
like serenity.
See, this is what I'm talking about. That's why I'm ready.
Dude, I'm ready for the commune.
I'm actually going to do it, bro.
We were actually talking. I don't know that this is the same thing, but Sam and I were talking about doing a yoga retreat. I'm just saying that. Would that not be fun?
I'm not very flexible, but it sounds good.
Right? Going out into nature, taking
we
nature hikes.
We gonna eat you flicks, boo.
Okay, you know what?
You can teach us how to meditate.
I was on a hike the other day, and these girls were at the top of the mountain doing yoga.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, I want that to be me. I want
Same,
it to be
dude.
Me. Oh, they were breathing in that deep, fresh, crispy air.
Let's become those yoga bitches to the fullest.
Okay, just make everyone hate us.
This Namaste. Really took a turn.
Yeah.
We really derailed this conversation.
You know what? I'm sorry to our listeners.
All of this helps chronic pain, I think.
I think it
in
does.
My heart.
Laughter is the best. Have you tried laughter?
Could you imagine if I just started laughing and it's like, oh my God, my headache's gone.
Yeah. Sam, do you have any more questions for mine or Christy's chronic pain?
Is there anything that you want to touch on?
I just live with, like, this chronic pain, I guess. Like, there's so many of us out there who do deal with, like, chronic illness, chronic, you know, pain, chronic whatever. And I think that it takes a lot of strength to even just get up in the morning. Like, there are some mornings where I literally wake up so stuffed. I know, again, it probably sounds like I'm complaining. But, like, I wake up so stuffed up. And it's, like, after, like, 700, 800 plus days of doing this, I literally just think, I'm like, I can't live like this. Like, I cannot have the flu for like one more freaking day. And to be able to get up and like go about your day and like not, you know, focus on it. And and like
be grateful for the things that you do have, but also people understanding that
it
sucks, you know?
Do you find that, like, because a lot of, like, I'm just trying to relate this to my very limited experiences with being sick, strep throat. Usually for me, like, when I'm, like, sick with, like, whatever, it's, like, really bad in the morning, really bad at night. Do you feel like it's kind of similar for you where, like, you have, like, during the day your symptoms are a little bit alleviated and it's worse at a specific time?
Yeah, so it's the worst right when I wake up. And it's the worst right when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And so sometimes I'll have really bad nights where I literally cannot stop producing mucus in, like, my sinuses and it dripping down the back of my throat. So I have to constantly cough up this mucus. And it's, yeah, it's disgusting. But also frustrating because I'm, like, I'm trying to go to sleep. But then there's, like right now, there's, like, an entire mucus ball right here. And I'm just, like, trying to, like, have it not be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, like, kind of embarrassing because people think that they can, like, catch what I have. But it's not contagious. Yeah. It's just, like, my tonsils are diseased. So the bacteria is, like, it's
except for one day you actually were sick with something other than
and
then I did catch it.
So. You did catch it, yeah. But I can
still feel bad. It's a trap.
Yeah. I can tell when I have, like, a cold versus, like, just what's happening to me. But just a little side story. I was in the passport office last year, and I just, like, for those of you who don't know me in real life, I literally do, like, I'm so gross. I have to, like, suck my snot, cough, like, clear my throat, like, constantly. Like, it's, like, a constant thing. And so when I'm in, like, these, like, quiet spaces, like, it's pretty audible if I'm the only one doing this. And I had a woman sitting next to me, and I think she only sat there for, like, 3 minutes, and she literally, like, got up in a huff and looked at me and was like, sick. And then walked away from me, sat down, and then continued to be like, disgusting, gross. And I'm just like,
I'm so sorry.
I have chronic sinusitis and smorgasbord disease. And how dare you? And I have several things that I cannot pronounce happening with my spine as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And also, I'm tired today.
I'm just tired.
I would have said some shit.
Yeah.
Can we? I want to talk about your strep throat experience, actually.
Oh, when was it?
I'm so glad to be able to take the floor on this debilitating illness.
When was it, you asked?
Yes.
Don't tell me you were seven.
It's 1994.
You were one.
It was in 12th grade. It was a hard year.
Wow.
Did it last a full year?
No, it lasted 7 days.
Oh, that is quite long.
That's a long week.
Did you go and get antibiotics for it?
Yeah, it was actually a really bad case of strep throat. I don't know how I got it, and it was bad, and my it really hurt.
So
your face. I wish that they could see your face. It really hurt.
I you know what? I actually, this sounds like I'm trying to trump your strep throat, but I'm not. But I do. I agree. Don't shake your head at me. I agree. This Christy, I need to get this.
How dare you minimize?
I'm not. I'm agreeing with you. I agree that strep throat is actually
horrifying.
It is. And I've had to go to the hospital twice because of strep throat.
Same, dude. Mine were so bad that they were touching. My tonsils were.
My breath was stinky. I couldn't swallow. Dude, I could not fucking swallow. It was so painful.
It's like needles.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, every time I get, like, a little bit of, like, a scratch in my throat, I'm like, no. Like, I'm like, I, like, will myself to, like, not have strep throat. Yeah. Like, I can't take another time. I know you guys are talking about waking up every day with sickness, but I can't go through strep throat once more.
I can't do this ever again. It was the worst 7 days. I guess all I can say is that while I deal with it every day, yes, it sucks. I try not to let it overtake my entire life. I try to just live every day, like, just seeing what it's going to be like. And I think the lucky part for me is that I have YouTube as a job. Because if I didn't do this, when I had a conventional job, having cluster headaches was horrific.
Yeah.
Because you either just have to go or you're calling in all the time and then you're that bitch. And so as soon as I was able to make YouTube my full-time thing, it was so freeing because I don't have to upload if I don't feel good. I don't have to work if I don't feel good.
Well, and you can make up where you need to when you do feel good.
Yes. Like, on the days I do, I pre-film the shit out of videos because I know I might have a couple of bad days this week. So I try, but, you know, I'm not that consistent, and I try to let people know, like, I try for every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but shit happens, you know? Some weeks I am down for the count. Some weeks I'm wonderful.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I completely agree because, like, that is something that, like, I'm always – because, like, I ebb and flow with, like, my job and, like, how fulfilling it is and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I'm eternally grateful for the fact that if I need downtime, I can take it.
Yes.
If I'm burnt out, I can relax. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do what I need to do for myself. And, like, it honestly – it makes me so devastated thinking about how many people – like 99% of the population, they do not have a choice.
Yes.
No matter what they're going through, be it chronic pain, be it mental illness, be it pregnancy, be it like literally anything, they are not allotted the time to care for themselves.
Yes.
And it's just so wrong.
And you can't even afford it if you want to. And yeah. And you're made to feel very guilty if you take a lot of sick days.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of times you'll lose your job. I mean, yeah. I got very, very close at many jobs to them, you know, bringing me into the office like, hey, like, you can't. And I try to explain to them, but again, it's an invisible illness.
Yeah.
Even when you're on your worst day, you look exactly the same as when you're on your best day. Yeah, so there is no way for anyone to know. They just have to take your word for it. And I've had people really question me through my entire illness. I've had people on forums say that they think I have Munchausen's disease, which is like people who think they're sick fake sicknesses for sympathy. And that's really hurtful because
that's so invalidating for your, like,
I fucking wish it was Munchausen's. Like, yeah. Wish that I had something like that. I would never want this life. I want to be one of those people that wakes up and just feels good every day and can, like, eat granola and not get sick.
Well, and I do think that, like, again, like, as much as you, with both of you, with anyone that deals with any kind of chronic pain, as much as you can explain it and explain it and explain it, no one will ever understand. And it's like, I'm like sure that everyone can resonate with this. When you're sick and you're like, when I'm not sick, mm-hmm. oh, I'm just going to not take it for granted at all. I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to feel so good. And I like never want to be sick. Like you just feel like, oh, I just can't wait to not be sick. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that day after day after day, I imagine for you guys. And like you just can't explain. No one will understand fully. So it's like, even if you can be like empathetic to an extent, at some point, I feel like most people are like, ugh. But you deal with it every day. Like, aren't you used to it almost? Like, I feel like that's how a lot of people look at chronic illness.
Yeah, it's so weird because you'd think, I'm used to feeling like shit all the time. So when I do feel good, that's the weird day. And I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I literally say sometimes, like, this is how people feel every day. It is weird to feel good. And so when I have a really good day, oh man, I am walking on damn sunshine. I am like the happiest person. But it's also equally as devastating when the next day you feel like shit and you're like, oh, come on. Because I didn't do anything different. I didn't eat anything different yesterday. I went to bed at the same time. Like, why today? And that's what's so frustrating about it is you try to find the answer.
Like, there's no rhyme or reason.
There is no rhyme or reason. And my entire life is trying to find a rhyme and reason. Okay, well, I ate bread yesterday, so it's got to be the bread. So I'm going to cut out bread. And I'm going to, okay, but why did I get another cluster headache today? Because I didn't eat bread yesterday. And then you're doing that. And then you cut another food group out. And then you try really adding it back in. And hey, I didn't have a cluster headache today. Maybe bread actually cures cluster headaches. So I'm going to eat ultra bread. Oh, maybe it has nothing to do with any of that. And you just have a brain condition. Yeah. Like, it's really rough that you're always reaching for some kind of answer
and never getting
it. I haven't yet. Maybe one day I will, but it does feel like I've, and that's why people think I flip-flop all the time. Oh, she flip-flops her diet all the time because I'm just trying to find anything that can help me. I do not care if that means all I can eat is celery for the rest of my life. I would live a celery diet. I don't even care. I would do anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know the answer. Neither do my neurologist. Neither does the internet. What works for some people doesn't work for me. So I'm just grasping at straws, trying to find anything that could maybe give me some semblance of normalcy. And not so far.
Yeah. When I honestly, because I deal with like such a like myriad of like things, it's like, okay, one day I can wake up and like maybe my sinuses aren't that bad, but okay, now this is a migraine day and I have like acute migraine syndrome or whatever the frick it's called because I have too many things to keep freaking in my brain where I get neurological symptoms. So like I literally can't spell, I can't see, I can't text. That. Oh, really?
Yes, and it's weird because we chat on Marco Polo all the time and she had a migraine once and came on and she was speaking gibberish.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what's happening? She's like, oh, it's a migraine thing I've got. It happens a few times a year.
Yeah.
So weird. I've never. Wow.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. They didn't know this at the start because they just thought that it was like migraines. But then they realized that I was having neurological symptoms because one time I literally was trying to take a math test and I could like I looked at my math test later and I was like, this is literally like you can't read this. And I had one when I first moved into Sam's house and she was like, I thought you were wasted. Like, because that's what you thought, right?
Yeah,
because
you were texting me, like, well, and, like, normally, like, even if I know you're, like, out drinking or something, you're texting me, like, really, like, normally.
Yeah.
But, like, you were texting me, like, nonsensical.
Yeah.
And, like, really fucked up, like, spelling and stuff like yeah. that, which is not normal.
And that's so yeah. scary because that's...
Yeah.
It's just like...
I think the doctor that I saw did relate it to like mild like stroke symptoms where like you literally like you can't like your speech is impaired and your spelling is impaired and like it's neurological symptoms, right? But then it goes away. So it's not like lasting effects.
And I think what's rough too is that, and forgive me if this sounds dumb, but the word migraine, mm-hmm. I'll use that as an example. It's so widely used, and a mm-hmm. lot of people have it, but it almost loses its meaning for people when they're yeah, like, right. I have a migraine. It almost, like, loses its... Because a migraine is horrific.
Yeah.
I've had maybe, like, a handful of migraines in my life. They're bad. Like, yeah. they're very, very, very painful. They last all day. You can't yep. speak. You can't talk to anybody. You're in a dark room. Mm-hmm. You feel sick to your stomach. Like... That they're horrible, and it's so much more than just like a headache, you know, and
yeah.
they're debilitating, and I feel for anyone that has to have them.
Yeah, they like literally anything that's chronic sucks, and that's the thing is like because I have all of these different things, it's like if one of them is okay that day, then it's like okay, well I'm like have migraine symptoms, and like okay, well now my sinuses are acting up, okay, well I put my back out doing like literally sneezing, like you know what I mean, it's like I feel like I can't get away from it, so even though like one of them might be okay, it's like I literally don't know what like a normal day feels like.
It's always one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it does get like
when you I'm just curious because like you have like such a range of things going on when you notice like something new or something that maybe like doesn't happen as often, are you quick to like go in and get help for it because you like want to like nip it in the bud, or are you someone that's more likely to be like ugh, just like add it to the list kind of thing and like not really focus on it until it becomes like a real problem?
I think it depends on what it is, honestly. I didn't go in for my migraines for a long time because I kind of just like accepted that they were a thing I was dealing with until I had one in Toronto and Glenn was like, this is weird. Like, this doesn't seem normal. And then when I had the one that I had here, I was really scared because it was so, I think it was probably the most severe one I've ever had because I was like genuinely scared that I was going to be like changed for life because I was trying to talk to my mom on the phone and she couldn't understand me. I couldn't like, I needed water and I couldn't like, sorry. I couldn't tell Glenn that I needed... It was, like, the weirdest thing. So
and then, this is just an example as well of the fact that I live with Alyssa and didn't realize this was happening.
she could just call. But, yeah, so it kind of depends. So it took me a long time for that one. I really don't go in for my back anymore because I literally wrote on a Post-it note one time to my mom that I didn't want to go to any more doctor's appointments because I was, like, I'm just so sick of it. Like, I'll just deal with it.
It is frustrating, isn't it? Just, like, always having to be at the doctor and, like...
Yeah. But I recently started having problems with my chest, and that one, I started having problems a couple months ago, but they went away. And so I was like, okay, like I was just anxious or whatever, because I do deal with anxiety. And I know that that anxiety can create like so many physical yeah. issues for you. Yes. So I was like, okay, I understand I have anxiety. This is probably what it is. But then it came back and it didn't go away, even when I was feeling like sort of like not anxious. And so then I actually did go in for that, and now we're doing a bunch of tests. I currently am wearing a heart monitor.
How she fitting is.
Yeah,
she yeah. is. Perfect day for this conversation.
Yeah, so things I guess I take certain things like a little bit more not seriously but like urgent, I guess.
Yeah,
just depending on like what it is. But yeah, I do feel like defeated,
like a little jaded almost.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, the hoops that I've had to jump through, like, even with my chronic, like, sinusitis, they made me go to an allergy. Like, I understand you have to go to all these things to rule things out, but, I mean, it's just, it's such a long list. Like, I had to go to a ear, nose, and throat doctor who sent me to an allergy specialist who sent me to a gastroenterologist where I got that scope thingy And then they sent me to a different one who gave me this weird liquid. And then, like, it just, you know what I mean? It keeps going around and around. And if none of those come out with a result, you keep chasing help.
Yeah. Like, I had chest problems for actually quite a while. And I was trying to explore it a little bit as well. And it was the same thing for me. And especially because I don't deal with anything chronically, I just would walk out of every single appointment being so defeated, and they would have me like, you have this referral to go to this person, and then that doesn't bring any answers, and then you're going to this person. And like, at the end of it, I was just like, I mean, fuck it. Like, I was just like, I don't want to keep doing this. Like, this is like so mentally like shitty and draining to just go in here and do this whole like uncomfortable test. Cause like when I was having chest problems, like one of the things that we did was, they put like a brainwave monitor on, I believe, like to see like how, if I was susceptible to seizures and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like they had to like sort of like glue these things like all over my head. And like, it just sounds so stupid, but like there was like all this sticky shit in my hair after. And like, they were like sitting in there, like shining lights in my eyes and turning the lights on and off. And like, I was just like, it was just such an uncomfortable process to go in and do. And then like, take the bus home and have all this shit in your hair.
And did
stuff
you get
like
any answers?
No. And that's the thing is like, you know, like when you go in, you're doing something that's like not comfortable and like you're scared and you're like hoping that there's nothing wrong, but also like you want to figure out what's going on. Like, it's just very like taxing emotionally and mentally. And then it makes you not want to go to the next appointment because you're like, I haven't gotten answers at the last five.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm going to go in and do this other thing and then go do this other thing. And like, it's just like, yeah.
I actually don't know if I ever will get any answers because when my mom was pregnant with me, the doctors said that she wasn't pregnant and she was having all these symptoms and they did blood tests, urine tests. It all came back that she wasn't pregnant and they wanted to send her for an x-ray. And she had an x-ray while I was inside of her.
And so did they tell her afterwards?
Yeah. So what ended up happening was they told her that she was pregnant, but that she would either miscarry or that I would be completely fine. Those were the two options that she gave, that she was given.
Wow, that's quite a leap.
Yeah, so my mom left, and she was obviously very upset, very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my mom today just to ask her if she was, like, okay with me even telling this story, because throughout my life, like, ever since I found this out, she's been, like, obviously devastated. And she obviously was like, I mean, it's, like, it's your life, but, like, thanks for respecting my privacy or whatever. But that's what she was saying, is she was like, there was also no follow-up. Like, they never called to check if she had miscarried. They never called to check and see if, like, I
was
okay.
Which is fucking crazy.
Right? And so these people who did this, you know, they don't know. They don't know what happened, and here I am. And, you know, that's x-rays are very harmful to like fetuses, embryos, babies, whatever. And that could be why I have very brittle bones and all of these kind of
just like such a range of
symptoms, yeah, of like illnesses or whatever. And so I don't know. Maybe there is no rhyme or reason. Maybe it's just that I was x-rayed in utero.
And you know, sometimes I do think we try as people who deal with so much to find like, what have I done in my life that caused this?
Right.
And I think I've come to terms with this at 31. Maybe we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe we were born
mm-hmm.
with issues. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been the case. And so we try to look and like, why am I like this? Well, why are some people 4 months old and they get cancer? You know what I mean? It's not like that baby did anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are born and they have things wrong, because like, nobody else in my family has insulin resistance or PCOS. Right. I'm the only one. Nobody else has headaches. I'm the only one. So I'm like, what the hell happened to me? Who knows? I could just have been born with some issues. And I try to find the answer, but, you know, you never know.
And do either of you, I think that's really interesting that you bring up, do either of you experience, like, guilt? Like, feeling like I know for you, Christy, like, because you said that you think it might have been triggered by, like, this fertility drug. Do either of you experience guilt where you're like, ugh, like, I shouldn't have done this if I hadn't done this, blah, blah, blah? Like,
yeah. Especially me, because I feel like I'm always trying to find the thing that I did wrong that caused me to get to this place. I can't do that because hindsight's 20/20. I can look back and be like, oh, it was XYZ that caused this on this date. it is what it is now. I can't look back and do that, but yes, 100%. I always am trying to find like the missing link somehow or something that I did differently than somebody else, but you know. And I mean, there's a lot of things too. Like I feel the guilt too of like, do I have kids?
Yeah.
Do I? Because it's a 50% chance my kid would get cluster headaches. Do you risk it?
Right.
But I want to have my own biological children. I think that would be lovely. So these are all the things you have to think about. And where it's really sad is that I feel like it has stolen a huge part of my life because I would never wish this upon my worst enemy, let alone the love of my life, my child.
Mm-hmm.
But do I not have kids? Because, and people will say like adopt or, you know, do all that stuff. And I think that's certainly an option, but it does take away the option of.
Yeah, of course.
Your own biological child, which I think that people will be like so easy to adopt.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's just kind of like a really, like it's minimizing the reality of the situation because as much as like, yeah, of course there's other options.
Right.
It still is, I mean, like, biologically, in my opinion, our purpose is to procreate. Like,
right.
Obviously now people, like, take the choice or they don't kind of sure. thing. And it's like,
you it's their own can choice.
Live a fulfilling life without that. But, like, biologically, like, that is, like, a lot of what drives us.
And so, I want to be a mom one day. Mm-hmm. I want to have my own child with my husband. I want to do all that stuff. But the fear of passing down this hideousness to my child... My husband's like, well, there's a 50% chance that it might not happen. I'm like, that's a really, really risky, you know yeah. what I mean? I see why he's doing that because I want him to be a dad and I want to be a mom. I want more than anything. Like, he really wants kids. I'm like, because of all my issues, I just right. can't even imagine. What if I got a cluster headache when I was pregnant? What would I do, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
What
yeah.
do you do? Do you take a bunch of drugs? Do you just sit through it? I mean, so there's so many things to consider. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things is that it takes away your life in a lot of ways. I can't yeah. just travel. I want to go just travel to other countries and like spend time in other places. I feel like I can't. And the fear of all of this chronic shit and all the pain and all that stuff stops me from doing a lot of the things that I want to do. And it, so mm-hmm. it just sucks. But I try not to dwell on that stuff too much. But it does feel bad that it robs you of the things that you want to do because you just, it's not your choice, you know? But
yeah.
you got to just keep on keeping on. And I feel like I could live a fulfilling life without kids, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, you don't know. Because I've never had kids, but I have a niece and I love her with my whole heart. So I can only imagine how yeah. much you love your own kid. But, you know, I try to just, like, not bring in this conversation to the saddest. I'm infertile anyway, so we don't have to worry about any of that.
Your other debilitating chronic illness.
I laugh because, you know.
You gotta.
Just, yeah. what the hell, man? Maybe I'm not meant to have kids. I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, it's a rough one.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you feel any guilt, Alyssa.
I do for some. So for a long time, I kind of blamed myself for like going on that trampoline, even though I was like 6 or 7
God
or whatever.
Damn that trampoline.
Yeah. But I thought
dare
I was
you have
like,
fun.
Yeah, I was like, what if, and it wasn't even so much blame. It was more so just like, what if?
Yeah.
Like, what if I hadn't? What if I hadn't? And then when I was in Toronto and I went to my new back specialist, he said that it would have happened like regardless. And that took away a lot of the what if for me. Mm. He said that it would have happened even if I was just like on a hike one day. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously.
So it was already compromised?
Yeah, because my bones are so brittle. I mean, probably because I got x-rayed as in the womb or whatever. But yeah, they're like, he said it would have happened. And I broke my foot stepping on a rock.
Oh,
I stepped on a pebble and it hit like just the right part of my foot and it broke the bone. So it's like my bones are very fragile. Like I'm a little fragile flower. So that actually took away a lot of the, like, this was my fault sort of thing. And then with, like, my chronic sinusitis and stuff, it actually came after, like, a really bad bout of bronchitis that I had gotten from, like, being in the party scene. So I was, like, drinking and going out all the time and, like, not sleeping well. And then I got bronchitis and continued, like, working and drinking and stuff like that. And so that led to strep throat. Which I then got over.
And we're bringing it right back to strep throat.
Sam, tell us all about it.
The number one killer.
Yeah. And then what one of my doctors said was, when I got so sick, because I was so sick, like bronchitis and then strep throat back to back, they said it could have changed the, like, I don't know what they said, I can't remember. It was something about chemicals or whatever in my body or something, where my body started to attack itself. And so I was like, oh, so I literally did do this. But then, this is the thing, right? Then I went to this other doctor who said that it's that my tonsils are diseased and it's creating bacteria, which is like staying in my sinuses and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I think that I just feel guilt for not treating my body properly throughout my early years.
Sure.
Just in general. But I am grateful that all of the bad things that I did do to it, like, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I am at the, for like, I'm out, I'm able to do stuff, I'm able to travel, right? Like, I can deal with it. So I'm still so grateful. So I don't know.
You guys are both troopers, frankly.
Thanks.
Good try, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I can complain quite a bit, but you know,
it's hard. Man, it's hard. It's hard to not to.
It really is sometimes. I'm like, sometimes I just need to say owie.
Yeah.
Right? Owie. Damn it.
Yeah. And like, I think that like, yeah. I mean, I just think, again, like, I wish that people were more compassionate towards it, because as much as like, obviously you cannot understand it. And like, I can't understand either of your guys' position. I've had a headache. I've had back pain. It's not what you guys are dealing with. Mm. And so, not to minimize my own pain or whatever, but it's not that. And it's not that day after day after day. And so I wish that people would be more compassionate, even if you can't understand it, because ultimately, you know how shitty it feels to feel sick.
Yeah.
And if that was every day,
mm-hmm,
times 10, you would be miserable. And mm-hmm, like, there would just be a time where you would want to be like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick. Like, I feel like shit. I'm tired. I'm whatever. Like, and I'm over this. And it's like, honestly, like, I think that sometimes, like, it's just so not fair or reasonable to expect people to just shut up about it. Mm-hmm. Because you might be tired of hearing it, but fucking imagine how tired they are of living it.
Sure.
Yeah, you that's know? A good way to put it.
Like, and it's just like, I just think that's so unfair. And I really like, with people making the comment about like Munchausen syndrome and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, I just think that's so, who the fuck are you to even,
it was guru gossip, to be fair,
regardless, like what kind of human being are you to think that you can diagnose something that severe?
Yeah.
Because you're sick of hearing about someone's chronic illness
on a page that you come to. Yeah. Willingly.
Like, it's, yeah, just, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's very disappointing, because you don't know what it's like. You won't know what it's like, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
I hope nobody does. That's the thing. And yeah, I hope that one day there is a cure for all this stuff. I mean,
yeah,
maybe. I hope.
Yeah.
And but people, like, do have it worse than me. And
But that doesn't matter. Like, yeah. And I think in the meantime, if the least you can do is vent,
yeah,
then, like, by all means, fucking vent whenever you need. Like, to me, I'm just like, I don't understand why there is any onus on the victim, really, to need to just suck it up, basically.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I can't.
Why?
Like, and I we want to. Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, if I could just be like, all right, bitch, get your game face on. It doesn't work like that.
Well, yeah. And like, you don't need, like, the pain and all of these kinds of things also compounded with guilt.
Yes.
And embarrassment of not wanting to talk about it and stuff like that, and not wanting to have to say this is what's going on again and again.
Yeah. And I feel bad for my husband. I always apologize to him. I'm like, so sorry that you have to live your life like this. And he's like, what do you mean? And I feel horrible. I'm like, that you have to have a wife like this. And he's like, shut up. But
mm-hmm,
when you are sick all the time, you're like, we don't travel. We don't, you know, you feel sorry for yourself, yeah, and you have to go through that. But
yeah, even like with you, Alyssa, like anytime you like clear your throat and stuff like that, still you're like, sorry. And I'm like, huh? Like, I don't notice it because I'm just like, you're just doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
And like, it's never been something that I've been like grossed out by or bothered by or whatever. And it's just like, there's nothing to like apologize for. Like, it's what you have to do. And like, sometimes what you have to do is fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It does help sometimes to talk about it too.
Well, I'm glad we had the chance to all talk about it here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Christy, for coming.